What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I am an author. I have actually another radio show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m. called The Women's Healing Circle, and I am a passionate women's health advocate. So, as always, it's a pleasure having you join me today because this is an opportunity to have another exploration and in-depth conversation into subjects that women really must know. I have a couple of announcements to begin with. I have finally made it into the Facebook universe, and I invite you to like me or friend me, however it goes. And here is the website, or the Facebook address, I should say, and that's facebook.com/whatwomenmustknow. So that's an easy one, What Women Must Know on Facebook. So come along. I have a lot of great things in store. I have going to be sharing lots of tips and articles and information, education to support women in really getting access to truthful information, because that's what I am all about. That's what my shows are all about. It's all about empowering women with truthful information so they can make the most informed decision possible. And today we are having another fantastic opportunity to empower women with truthful information regarding their health and well-being. We are going to be exploring the world, the interesting world, of homeopathic medicine. I'm sure many of you have heard of homeopathy, but you may not really understand what it is. You may not understand how it really works. And certainly, this is a chance to learn what remedies, simple remedies, homeopathic remedies that are readily available in any health food store can really support many of your health needs and challenges. And I have to say, homeopathy is a healing modality that I personally use, and I've also used it in my practice so successfully. It's so simple, so powerful. So I wanted to have a show where we are having a chance to explore the world of homeopathy and then give you some really practical solutions so you know the kinds of things you can either go and ask for in your health food store or just keep on the shelf, so when there is a need, it's right there as one of the best first aid medicines you can have. To help us dive into this subject is my guest today, who is quite an amazing woman, very experienced homeopath, and her name is Bhagavati Lenihan. And Bhagavati has been involved in holistic healthcare for 40 years, and she'll be sharing some of the best-kept secrets that she has learned from her many, many years owning a health food store and working in clinics and writing and really getting the message out. In fact, she has a great book called A Healer in Every Home, which is a wonderful little book to keep around as a reference guide. I know I found it really fascinating. And you know, it's always great to have practical tools right there at your fingertips. A few other things about Bhagavati that I'd like to share with you. She's an RN and a certified classical homeopath. She is a graduate of Harvard University and has found an interesting path unfolding for her after her graduation from Harvard, which led to her opening up a health food store where she amassed a treasure trove of knowledge about nutrition, herbs, supplements, and homeopathy, and went on to study classical homeopathy and now is out there educating and empowering people with so much of her knowledge. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Bhagavati to the show. So hello and welcome, Bhagavati.
Hi, thank you.
Well, this is a great opportunity to have so much of your wisdom, and I do love your little book, which is so easy to read and so practical, which is one of my favorite things, things that are easy to read and practical.
And fun. It has lots of stories in it, teaching stories that make it memorable, easy to remember what remedy to use for what occasion. So I try to make it very user-friendly, fun, easy, lighthearted, and like I said, practical, accessible, things you can get in any health food store.
Well, you did a great job.
Because,
so, you know, I think where we can begin in this discussion, which I think is a really important discussion, because as I was saying, to have practical tools and resources at your fingertips is such a gift. And I'd like us to begin by talking about what is homeopathy. People just don't get it, Bhagavati.
I know.
I'd really like us to...
I tried to explain it for many years.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let's make the distinction. A lot of people confuse it with herbal medicine. And with herbal medicine, usually that would be like an alcohol extract, or might be leaves, like a tea that you brew as a tea, or it might be leaves that would be compressed into a tablet. But either, no matter what form, there's still some of the original plant that it came from. There's some of the actual stuff. Homeopathy comes in the form of these tiny little sugar pellets that it's often been said there's nothing in them. There actually is something in them on a very minute form, on a nanoparticle form. But basically, the original herb or the original mineral, whatever it's made from, has been diluted out through this process of diluting over and over again. But what's been added in the process of dilution is that the information from the herb gets intensified at each step. And basically the homeopathic remedy is a way of storing information. And you can store a tremendous amount of information on a tiny little pellet, kind of like on a computer chip. If you think of how much information there is on a computer chip, you could, if you wanted, for example, put a whole medical textbook onto a computer chip, this tiny little chip. And a homeopathic remedy stores information in somewhat a similar way. What we know now, this is very cutting-edge work being done in physics, the physics of high dilutions, where the Western technology is kind of catching up to where homeopathy has been for the past 200 years. It's worked for 200 years. Western technology couldn't really measure it, explain it, but now we're finally being able to measure what's going on in a homeopathic remedy. And what we're finding is that in the water, as a homeopathic remedy is made, there are crystalline formations. You can think of snowflakes. Think of snowflakes. They're all made out of water, all H2O. No two snowflakes alike. They're all different patterns, but chemically they're all the same. But somehow the water is able to form into these different patterns, and that's what's happening in the homeopathic remedy water and the process of making it. Each starting substance, it could be an herb, it could be a mineral, there are various other substances we use, forms a different pattern in the water. And at each step of dilution, this this structure, this order, this kind of ordered water becomes more and more highly organized, stores more information, and is able to pass along more information to the healing energy of the body. Because the body basically has what we call in homeopathy the vital force. In acupuncture, it's called qi. You know, the idea of healing energy. The body knows how to be healthy, and it gets thrown out of balance. It gets thrown out of whack for one reason or another. And the homeopathic remedy is simply providing the template. It's like providing the blueprint to remind the body how to organize itself in a healthy way again.
That's a great, great explanation. I always tell people that homeopathic medicine is the first real version of medicine that is based on an energy model. It is about energy, and we talk about information storing and conveying information. We're really talking about understanding the fact that we are more an energy system than a biochemical system. Energy system, mm-hmm. First, where we receive information. Our cells actually have receptors to frequencies. So
yes.
We are understanding that homeopathy is really, like you said, a 200-year-old system that is now coming into the age of healing medicine, which is the evolving field of medicine right now.
Right. I feel that it really combines the best of East and West and also the best of ancient and modern, in the sense that the founder of homeopathy, a German doctor from 200 years ago, was actually a medical translator who studied medicine from all over the world. We know, for example, he studied Ayurvedic medicine from India, and there's indirect evidence that he studied Chinese medicine. And he took these energy concepts from Eastern medicine and combined them with the herbal traditions of the West, going back to the ancient Greeks, also using, once homeopathy was brought to the New World, they used Native American herbs, they used the Western herbal tradition. They made these ancient herbs into medicines based on this energy concept, and at the same time they anticipated physics, like even beyond Einstein, you know, this idea that at the heart of the atom, our old picture from high school chemistry, that the atom is like these little balls of, you know, we had a model in the front of the classroom, these little wooden balls on copper wires, you know, that was the atom. Actually, it's like patterns of energy. When you go into the heart of matter, matter is energy moving in a certain pattern, and that's what homeopathy is. Storing the information from these ancient herbal medicines and using this kind of quantum physics approach to an understanding of healing of the body, of reality. So like I said, I feel like it really combines the best of many different healing traditions.
Bhagavati, what would you say the difference is between herbal medicine, taking an herb, and taking a homeopathic remedy?
That's a great question. On a very simple level, for example, if you're thinking about giving a medicine to a child, it's much easier to give homeopathy because it just tastes so good. I mean, the homeopathic medicine water is sprayed onto these sugar pellets and then it dries. And so that's what's actually given to the person is usually little tiny, tiny sugar pellets, and kids love them. I mean, they taste sweet, so they're easy to take. Herbs are often bitter. So on a practical level, it's just very easy to take. Another thing is that homeopathy often gets instant results. Not always, I don't want to create unrealistic expectations, but it happens often enough that as soon as the pellet is put in the mouth, as soon as it touches the mucous membranes inside the mouth, the person will say, oh my God, my headache's gone, my cramps are gone, whatever. It's like this almost instantaneously there's a shift. And usually you expect herbal medicines to take longer. Another difference, because like I said, herbal medicines have actual stuff in them, and herbs work because they have plant materials. They have these phytonutrients, they have alkaloids, they have different substances that have medicinal action. There's actual stuff in there. Because of that, it's possible to take too much. It's possible to get side effects from an herb as you would from a drug. It's not as likely because when these herbal properties are extracted, and many of our medicines actually are based on herbs. Many, pharmaceuticals originally came from herbs. When they're isolated, they're more likely to kind of tip the body into an imbalance and to cause side effects. And when the same substance is in the context of the full herb, the whole plant, with all the other constituents that are naturally there, it's much more likely that the body can get the healing effect without being thrown into the kind of imbalance that will cause side effects. But the fact is that because herbs do have these strong medicinal components that conceivably could even be toxic in high doses, there is more of a possibility of side effects with herbal medicine than there is with homeopathic medicine. With homeopathic medicine, there are no side effects. There is a possibility of something else, which is that if the remedy is too strong, we're not thinking so much of quantity, the number of pellets. We're thinking more of the intensity of the remedy. That's represented by the number on the tube. It's typically 6C, 30C, 200. The number represents how strong it is. If the remedy is too strong for the person, like it, the information that's coming in overwhelms the body's healing energy and can temporarily intensify the symptoms. This is different from a side effect because it only happens right at first, and as it wears off, it actually typically leads to an improvement in the symptoms. So it can be part of the healing process. It can be an unpleasant part of the healing process, which we really try to avoid by encouraging people to use the least possible amount of homeopathy that's necessary to cause that shift for them to notice that it's starting to work.
You know, I think that's such an important distinction about homeopathic medicine, and that is that it is really the safest form of medicine. It's not going to cause any adverse effects that can be toxic and can worsen conditions. Everything about homeopathy really is safe, and even if the frequency, the intensity of that homeopathic remedy may activate a response, it's more of an activated healing response than it is an adverse response.
You're actually reminding me of a couple of other advantages. One is that if a child were to get into your family homeopathic medicine kit and start, because they are sweet little balls, you know, start swallowing a whole tube of the remedy, it's very unlikely that the child would have any response at all. And people say, well, that's not fair. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that it's both an effective form of medicine and that it will have absolutely no response if somebody swallows a whole tube. Well, the reason is that it is an informational form of medicine, and an analogy we use is that of a tuning fork. If you strike a tuning fork of the same pitch somewhere else in the room will start to respond. It will start to vibrate. But a tuning fork of a different pitch won't respond at all. So a homeopathic remedy, like you said, it has a resonance. It's conveying information. If it's well-matching, well-chosen, it's like the right match for the person who's taking it. The person will respond. It's the remedy that they need. It's giving the information that that person's healing energy is actually looking for. But somebody else who doesn't have that condition and doesn't need the remedy, doesn't have sort of the inner tuning fork, so to speak, to respond, their body simply doesn't respond. And in fact, we've had examples of, you know, very typically once a mom tries a homeopathic remedy or two and sees how well they work, they often will buy a whole kit of, say, 50 remedies to keep at home. We've had a number of examples of kids working their way through the kit and swallowing one bottle after another, and really nothing happens. And the FDA honors the fact that homeopathic remedies are so safe by categorizing them very differently than herbal medicine. Herbal remedies and vitamins, other supplements, are governed by the FDA under an act that basically says they're okay to sell, but the FDA isn't going to kind of guarantee their effectiveness or regulate them in any way. But homeopathic remedies are protected by the FDA or regulated like medicines. They're prepared in sterile facilities, pharmaceutical laboratories comparable to the laboratories where drugs are made. They're regulated and overseen and supervised by the FDA in a way that's comparable to medicines. And they're almost all, I say 99% of them, are deemed by the FDA to be over-the-counter, which means they're safe to sell. The FDA has determined that they're safe to be in health food stores. They're safe to be in a lot of pharmacies have them now. They're safe to sell over-the-counter because they do have such a long track record of safety.
That's great. I think that really helps clarify things for people who might not really understand homeopathy and its benefits. I mean, I really love homeopathy because it's so effective. As you said earlier, it can help alleviate symptoms rather quickly, surprisingly so. And I always travel with homeopathic remedies in case I get a cold or flu or sore throat, and it never fails. I can just nip it in the bud. So let's talk about some of the remedies that are your favorite remedies, or certainly remedies that are the basic remedies to be stocking in your little medicine cabinet so women can use it for themselves or their families and really have access to things that work and are safe. So what are your, I think you like to talk about your top five remedies that every home remedy should have. Let's start there.
Okay. Probably the universal favorite is Arnica. That's A-R-N-I-C-A. And Arnica is for bumps, bruises, sports injuries, black eyes, anytime there's a pulled muscle, basically soft tissue trauma. So it's especially useful if you have a house full of kids, especially little kids might be falling down and bumping their heads, a toddler who's just learning to walk, a kid falling off his skateboard, things like that, or an athlete, you know, somebody might be playing football, getting a muscle pull or a runner. So Arnica is very, very useful. And, of course, in my book, I always recommend safety guidelines, like It's used for head injuries. If you have a child who falls out of a tree and is unconscious, of course, you're not going to try to treat them with arnica at home. You're going to follow the same safety guidelines as you would normally and call 911. But for things that you do feel are safe to treat at home, arnica is just such a universally useful remedy for, like I said, all kinds of soft tissue trauma. Another one that's very, very useful is calendula, C-A-L-E-N-D-U-L-A. And calendula also exists as an herbal remedy. Both herbally and homeopathically, it's used for cuts and scrapes, surgical incisions, anytime the skin is broken. Easy to find herbally, maybe a little bit more tricky to find homeopathically. They both work, but in homeopathic form, it just works very, very quickly. And especially, let's say if you're going for surgery, you might take a dose preventively beforehand, and then afterwards, you can take it by mouth. It will work internally, and it will also work. You can take these little pellets, dissolve a couple of pellets in 4 ounces of water, and you can use it to irrigate the incision, which means to kind of pour it over and clean the area. And also, you can use it to soak the bandages in a situation where you can soak the gauze of that you're using to dress the incision. Or it can be a wound. It doesn't have to be a surgical incision. But in any case, calendula will help to heal it quickly. It will pull the sides of the incision together. It will help to prevent infection. It will help to prevent scarring. And it will help to prevent pain. And one of the ways I've seen that in my practice, I've had several clients who very unfortunately had to have mastectomies. And they use my surgical protocol, which also includes arnica. I just mentioned arnica for bruising. It's also used for soreness and swelling. So you can take a preventive dose before surgery, and you can find that the pain and swelling and so forth is greatly reduced after surgery. So people have used arnica and calendula before surgery and then afterwards, and they found that they've been relatively pain-free, and it's healed very quickly and with minimal scarring. Also, by the way, going back to arnica, it's great if someone is going for plastic surgery. Not that I personally recommend plastic surgery. I love the idea of women just loving their bodies and loving the way they look, just the way they are. But the fact is that plastic surgeons are now discovering that arnica helps prevent the kind of bruising that typically happens after plastic surgery. So we have arnica and calendula. Probably my next favorite remedy is ignatia. Now, this is not echinacea, which is well known as an immune herb. Ignatia, the homeopathic remedy, that's spelled I-G-N-A-T-I-A. Ignatia is my favorite remedy for what we call emotional first aid. And this is something a lot of people don't even think about, but you know what it's like if you get a phone call? You may get a call that someone in your family has been in a car accident, perhaps someone has died. People get phone calls or letters that someone has broken up with them. You know, there can be that kind of emotional trauma. There's emotional trauma when someone feels betrayed or abandoned. There can be emotional trauma. Let's say a child is humiliated in school, perhaps forced to go up in front of the class and try to solve a problem they're not prepared for, or they answer a question incorrectly and the class laughs at them, or perhaps they're playing soccer and the coach is yelling at them. For a child, this can be a huge trauma to be humiliated in front of others. So ignatia is kind of a universal remedy for the kind of stormy emotions that you can get in this kind of sudden onset, whether it's a loss, a fright, an abandonment, betrayal, humiliation, whatever. Ignatia, it doesn't numb the person. It certainly doesn't take away their appropriate emotional reaction, but it strengthens them inside and gives them the ability to help to deal with the situation. Okay, here's another favorite one. This is a not very well-known one. Might be a little bit harder to find, but by the way, all of these remedies can be ordered online. People can just Google them, and my favorite place to get them is called Homeopathic Educational Services. That's homeopathic.com. They have all these remedies. So a favorite one is ferrum, that's F-E-R-R-U-M, and then phosphoricum, but we abbreviate it, P-H-O-S, phos. So its nickname is ferrum phos. And you mentioned, Cheryl, nipping it in the bud. Ferrum Foss is our favorite nip it in the bud remedy. And this is used when you or someone in your family is kind of under the weather. They're not actually sick yet, but especially parents often know about their kids. They'll look at a kid and they'll say, they don't have a fever yet, they don't have a runny nose yet, they're not sneezing yet, but I bet tomorrow they're going to wake up and they're going to be sick. Sometimes kids are like a little bit off their feed, they're a little bit low energy, they're kind of bored and whiny, they don't want to do things that usually they would consider really fun, things that they'd want to do, they don't really want to do. And you just have that feeling, that nagging feeling that if you don't do something, they're going to have a full-blown illness in the next few days. Ferrum Foss is perfect for that. And for an adult, you probably know the symptoms for you, what it feels like when you're about to get sick. I know for me, I get this kind of a tickly, scratchy feeling in the back of my throat. And then I know I've been working too hard, not getting enough sleep, not eating properly because I'm like totally focused on a deadline or something. And I know that I'm susceptible, I'm vulnerable, something's trying to come in, my immune system's trying to fight it. Sometimes the only symptom might be a mild fever, but other than that, you use Ferrum Foss before there's sneezing or coughing, runny nose, and all that. And then the final one that's really great is Nux Vomica. That's N-U-X. Nux means nut in Latin, and vomica, V-O-M-I-C-A. It means vomit nut. It works for what it says. This is a great remedy for all kinds of gastrointestinal problems, including nausea and vomiting. And it's even one, you know, I have a second book about how to treat your animals with homeopathy. And this is the one we use for dogs that eat all kinds of, whether it's trash, they get into the garbage can, they're eating roadkill or whatever, then they're throwing up. Nux Vomica works great. And all of these remedies work just as well for cats and dogs and other animals as they do for people. So these are five very useful remedies that people could get.
In fact, I do recommend you get these remedies. Keep them around. I love arnica. I just like to emphasize what you were saying, but any time you've bruised yourself, or you know, there are times I've kind of stubbed my toes or twisted my ankles, or even going to the dentist, if you ever have dental work and you are having surgery, having a tooth pulled, my dentist always gives his patients arnica after any procedure, just to make sure that it reduces the bruising, if not eliminating the bruising and potential for black and blues and pain. So it's, I mean, these are fantastic remedies. And I have to say one other thing. They're really inexpensive. And that's another wonderful feature about homeopathic remedies as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, typically a tube might cost $7 or so, and you get enough to last for a long time. And that leads us into the question of, if these things are so fantastic, why have I never heard of them? Well, it's because they are inexpensive. They're not patentable. They're in the public domain. And that means there's no money for ads on TV, for example. You think of all those commercials for drugs on TV. Those cost millions of dollars that homeopathic pharmacies don't have. Doctors often have not heard of homeopathy. Again, what are doctors' main sources of information? They see ads in medical journals. They have drug sales reps who come around to their offices and bring lunch and do a little in-office education about the latest drug. They go to a conference where their expenses are paid by a drug company and they learn about the latest drugs. Homeopathic remedy companies can't afford to do that. So we've been laboring in obscurity, I think, for many years. One of the reasons I wrote my little book was I felt that homeopathy deserves to have a much wider audience and that it would really empower people to have these medicines that are so safe, you get such quick results, so easy to use. And, you know, I titled my book, A Healer in Every Home. And honestly, it's usually 99% of the time it's the mom who's the healer in the home. So I like the idea of empowering women with these remedies. And the information really has to spread by word of mouth, you know, because, again, we really don't have money for advertising. But I find in my practice, I get somebody here who has, whether good results for herself or one of her kids, they turn into little missionaries for homeopathy. You know, they're trying to get all their friends to try it. And people get really excited about it. So I hope your listeners have such good results.
And as they should, you know, before we take a little break, I just want to share a story with you. Many, many years ago, my mother slipped and sprained her, or actually broke her ankle. And she was given lots of Arnica right at that time. So by the time she got to the hospital, to the emergency room, it was hardly swollen at all. She had very little pain, and she healed really rapidly. And I really think it was due to taking that Arnica at the very, very, you know, onset of that injury. So it was, she's convinced now. My mom was a big fan of homeopathic medicine. So let's take a break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we're talking all about homeopathic medicine with my guest today, Bhagavati Lenihan, who practices out of the Linnean Center for Innovative Medicine in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and is the author of a great practical book called A Healer in Every Home. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. We are back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're talking to Bhagavati Lenihan, who is a classical homeopathic practitioner. And we're talking about practical approaches and applications of homeopathic medicine. So, Bhagavati, let's move on to women's health, because one of the gifts of homeopathic medicine is that there are some fantastic remedies that can really address numerous women's health challenges. And I'm going to let you just kind of take it over from there and share with us what are some of the most effective remedies that women can use for specific conditions.
Sure. So first, let me make a distinction between things suitable for treating at home and things you really have to go to a professional for. And also in homeopathy, one of the basic principles of homeopathy is that we usually want to individualize the remedy to the person. And that means a homeopath would take a lot of symptoms, both the details of your health condition and also things about you as a person, to find the remedy that really matches you the best. The things I recommended in the first half of the program were in the nature of first aid. They're fairly universal remedies. They don't have to be individualized. So I'm going to recommend a remedy that I think a lot of women will feel does match them well, but if it doesn't, it's not going to work at all. And it's not a universal remedy. It's just a very frequent, it's a common remedy for women. This is the remedy Sepia, S-E-P-I-A. And this is used for women who are overworked, overburdened, overtired, have too many responsibilities. It can be that they have too many kids to take care of, whether their own children or a class full of kids. It may be they have too many people to take care of, like a nurse on a floor where it's understaffed and she has too many patients to take care of. Or it can be both, a lot of women trying to juggle work and family, too many responsibilities, too exhausted in both areas. So the woman feels drained. She feels like all her energy is draining out. Often has issues in the female reproductive area and may even feel like her uterus is draining out. She might feel like her uterus is just kind of sliding out between her legs. It's used for a very frequent remedy for menopause. It's used for hot flashes in women who match this description. Also used for PMS. And typically women who need this remedy get they cry very easily, they'll cry at the drop of a hat, and they also get very irritable. They feel like they're at the end of their rope, they just have nothing more to give. The least little thing can make them irritable and snappish. Very typically they get snappish with their partner and with their family. They usually manage to hold it together at work. They manage to get home and then they let out all the frustrations of the day with their nearest and dearest. And they'll often say that they just need to get away. They feel like they need a vacation. But when they get a vacation, they feel so depleted that even, let's say they've been away for a week and it's time to go back, they'll feel like they're not really replenished yet. They still need another vacation. So again, the women who are just drained, exhausted, easily weeping, snappish, and then they get menstrual symptoms, They may get menstrual cramps. It may feel like their uterus is sliding down. In fact, there can be a prolapse of the uterus or the bladder. This can be postpartum, you know, where that area is, it's been kind of loosened anyway. They may feel like the ligaments holding up the uterus have been loosened. Amazingly enough, CP may actually help that without an operation.
Is that good for postpartum depression?
I was just going to say that it's a fabulous remedy for postpartum depression. And I feel so sad when I read in the media about women who do go to the extent of wanting to kill their children. I think, I mean, they're obviously have some mental illness, but also they probably are hormonally unbalanced, and maybe if they had had CP right off the bat, they might not have gotten into that state. So it's a great remedy for postpartum depression. You know, it's so sad when a woman's been looking forward to having a child so much, and then she has a child, and she's going through this kind of tidal flood of the hormones changing, and she can't actually enjoy it. I mean, she's feeling exhausted. She's probably up all night nursing, and she's feeling perhaps inadequate. This happens a lot to new mothers. And then she's also feeling depressed and overwhelmed. I mean, the combination is really, it's really hard. And so she could take sepia. And a great thing is that it's pretty much accepted among homeopaths that a remedy does not go through the breast milk to the child. Some homeopaths recommend taking a remedy after the last feeding, when she's likely to have the most, the longest time until the next feeding. It might be the last feeding of the day. And so there's the longest time for the remedy to work in her system before she breastfeeds. But I think most homeopaths feel like the baby won't respond to the remedy because the baby doesn't need the remedy, so it's very safe.
You know, that's, I want to say, Bhagavati, that is a really important point right there, because it's when women are pregnant and breastfeeding and nursing, there's so few things that it is recommended that they take because it can go right into the breast milk.
Yes.
So this is another wonderful feature of homeopathic medicine.
Yes, and let's talk about pregnancy, because sepia is one of our best morning sickness remedies. Especially when a woman feels sick from the sight or smell of food, it's a great morning sickness remedy. Now, if you were to go to a health food store and buy a tube of a homeopathic remedy, it will say, do not take if you are pregnant or nursing unless you consult with your doctor. This is standard language from the FDA because there have not been double-blind studies on pregnant women. Well, mostly, I mean, you wouldn't really want to do a research study on pregnant women anyway, but one of the limitations of homeopathy is we just don't have funds for research studies. What we do have is the historical evidence that homeopathy has been used for the past 200 years for pregnant women, and if anything, it has given better results in terms of childbirth. And so in the old days, let's say in the 19th century, there were actually homeopathic hospitals, and there were hospitals that would have a homeopathic wing and a conventional wing. And I read that the labor and delivery nurses wanted to work on the homeopathic wing because the women treated homeopathically tended to have shorter labor, easier labor, less pain, and so forth, because of the strength that they got from the homeopathic remedies. Ideally, when you're pregnant, you would find a midwife that works with homeopathy, that midwives tend to be open to it, and some of them get trained in it, and then you'd have a midwife who would have a kit of the particular remedies that you would need. And there's some, like, for example, chamomilla is a favorite remedy in homeopathy for very, very intense labor pains, and that's the same chamomilla that's used for teething, and it's like chamomile tea. It's all the same plant. So just to wrap up with sepia, it's used for PMS. It's used for menopause. Used for hot flashes, and just in general, used for exhaustion. A lot of my clients who are on other remedies tend to use sepia kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas, let's say that holiday season, when they're on their feet a lot, they're feeding a huge family, they're entertaining a lot of guests, they're always on duty 24/7, you know, they're trying to take care of someone. They're really strung out. They feel like nobody's taking care of them, you know. They're taking care of everybody else. It's a very typical situation for sepia. I also have a lot of friends who work in restaurants. Another classic situation where you need sepia. When you're standing on your feet, women have different vasculature than men do, and they tend to feel like their blood is pooling around their ankles, you know, and they tend to feel like not enough blood is going to their head. And then when they're working on their feet all day, it is really more exhausting for women than for men. And they get this depleted, end-of-their-rope, snappish kind of feeling. sepia is really great for that.
I'm sure most people listening will think that they need sepia at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, let me give an example of another remedy that's used more for children, young girls, but for some adult women, just to show you how different homeopathic remedies are. And if someone matches the second remedy, sepia wouldn't work for them because it's a totally different remedy picture. The second remedy is Pulsatilla. That's spelled P-U-L-S-A-T-I-L-L-A, Pulsatilla. Now, Pulsatilla is used for people, and especially children, who tend to be clingy, affectionate, very needy of affection, very needing reassurance that their mom loves them or the other person loves them. So you see a lot in very small children, especially children perhaps who have been adopted or children who've been put in a daycare center too early, who feel abandoned by their mother in some way. And they tend to cling to their moms physically. They want to climb in their mom's lap. They hold to their mom's leg when their mom drops them off at daycare. Mommy, mommy, you know, do you love me? I love you, mommy. They want a hug. They want a kiss. It's so common among little kids that Pulsatilla is used a lot for everything from tummy upsets to measles, all kinds of little colds and fevers and things like that for little kids. And so it's used for girls on through, say, through menarche, because it's also a hormone balancing remedy. So when you have a young teenage girl who is very moody and weepy and seems to be more needy of her mom, unlike a lot of teenagers who kind of push the mom away, you know, because they want to grow up and be independent, a Pulsatilla teenager will want to stay close to mom and need a lot of reassurance. Pulsatilla will work both in terms of hormone balancing, may help with, cramps, for example, and will also help emotionally. It's a great remedy for helping small children and teenagers grow through the developmental stages, become age-appropriate, you know, grow out of being dependent on mom. Now, some women continue to need Pulsatilla, and I have to say that this is partly cultural. In our culture, traditionally, it's more like a 1950s gender role between men and women, but women historically really have been taught to be dependent on men, to defer to men. I remember when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, we would read books about, you know, how to catch a man. Well, in those days, you were taught to always defer to a man, to always agree with a man. You would always, you know, even if you knew you were smarter than the man, you'd make the man think that he was smarter. So this is kind of a throwback, but there are still women who, it's kind of their strategy in life. They don't feel the strength to, say, strike out on their own, have their own opinion. They may have been socialized. It may have been kind of their family dynamics. But these are women who feel that the best way for them to be successful is through a successful man and through emotionally pleasing the man and maybe a little bit manipulating by being very sweet and very feminine, kind of batting their eyelashes a little bit. It's sort of a, like I said, it's a little bit of a throwback, but it's a certain way that we learned in the movies and TV and so forth from the 50s and 60s of how to be a woman. So a woman like that, she could be an older woman, might still need Pulsatilla if that's her way of dealing with life. And if she tends to be moody, have quickly changeable moods, but unlike sepia that can go from weepy to irritable, a Pulsatilla woman would go from weepy to very sweet. Very, very sweet, very affectionate. And I'm afraid I've made the picture sound too negative, but actually these women, as adult women, are the sweetest, sweetest people. And they're the kind of person you want as a friend or that you might want, you know, in your church committee or something. They're like the nicest people to deal with. So everybody needs strengthening. They need support both emotionally and also in terms of physical health. And for a woman who matches this picture, Pulsatilla will work very well. And I'll just mention that homeopathy can work as a hormone balancer. It's different from taking Premarin or taking synthetic hormones. It's also different from a more natural approach, taking bioidentical hormones. In both of those cases, you're taking a form of a hormone, taking it in from the outside. With homeopathy, what you're doing, there's no hormone in the remedy. You're recreating the blueprint that teaches the body, it reminds the body how to be in hormonal balance, and it can work very well even without bioidentical hormones or conventional hormones.
So can you just kind of go over the kind of the key points for Pulsatilla for the symptoms, for hormonal symptoms? What would women look for to use Pulsatilla?
Oh, sure. So pulsatilla would be used for menstrual cramps or PMS in a woman who matched pulsatilla otherwise, and less likely to be used at menopause because it's more often used for teenagers and younger girls. But it could also be used for during a postpartum time if a woman reacts by being, let's say, a woman who feels weepy and needs her mom and feels like she just wants her mom there to help her. Somebody who matches pulsatilla in other ways will benefit from pulsatilla at these times when it's like the tides of the hormones are shifting. Could also be used during pregnancy. It could be used for morning sickness. It's a great GI remedy. So it's used for tummy upsets of all kinds, so it could be used for morning sickness in a woman who has this type of pulsatilla personality.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. What else is there?
Well, there are other remedies that are used that don't really have a personality that go with them, but they have a particular symptom picture, and I'm thinking of the remedy MagPhos. This is an abbreviation for Magnesia Phosphorica. Our nickname, MagPhos, is spelled M-A-G for magnesium, P-H-O-S for phosphorus, and this is used for menstrual cramps. And think about a woman who likes to use a heating pad or to pull her knees up to her chest. She likes to kind of lie in a fetal position or perhaps even press a pillow or even a book into her abdomen. This is a very typical symptom picture for MagPhos. There are two remedies that are used for this kind of for menstrual cramps that are better from warmth and better from pulling the knees up to the chest or pressing something into the abdomen. MagPhos is one, and the other one is Colocynth. That's C-O-L-O-C-Y-N-T-H. The symptom pictures are very similar, but Colocynth does have an emotional aspect that goes with it. It's used for suppressed anger. So when I see a woman in my office and I'm not sure which of these two remedies she might need, I ask her, I said, does this, you know, anything in your life that might resonate with this issue, or is there any situation you might be in where there might be some anger you can't express? It happens a lot for women because women may be powerless. They may be in a job with an abusive boss, for example, or they may be stuck in an abusive marriage. For various reasons, they may be stuck in a situation where they have anger that they can't express. And then Colocynth will match better. In this case, though, they might be careful to take a low potency. That means, like, it would say Colocynth 6 instead of 30. Because when you take a remedy like that, that has to do with a suppressed emotion and it's too strong, it might actually release the emotion. It might, like, make it too intense. So in a way, it's good. It's like a vent or an outlet. The woman is releasing her suppressed anger, but it might be dangerous if she's in a situation, let's say, where she might get fired from her job or she might be in danger in her partnership situation. So I think it's an important time now to talk about potency. 30C, this is not CC. It doesn't mean the quantity or volume. 30C refers to the strength. This is the most standard potency in health food stores. Just about any health food store will have the standard remedies in a 30C strength. And that will work most of the time for most people. Occasionally there are situations where it might be too strong for the particular situation. Like, let's say you have an itchy skin condition. Sulfur is a great remedy for an itchy skin condition. But if it's too strong, it will cause what we mentioned before, this aggravation, this temporary worsening. You could be really miserable if you had an itchy skin condition and it got worse. So this would be a situation where you'd want to look for sulfur 6. If your health food store doesn't have it, you could easily get it online. Another situation
but Gavati,
is when
can I just break in here? I just want to comment on that last point you made, and I think it just needs to be reiterated. So if someone got a 30C for sulfur and it aggravated their itchy skin, so it got really itchy,
yes,
for a while, right? I mean, then it would actually, but it would it, the question for you is, would it actually be accelerating the healing but taking it through a phase where it seems to be getting worse? It's like
it's kind usually
of
temporarily
exacerbating
worse,
on its healing process.
It very typically not only gets better in terms of returning to baseline, but it gets better than it was before. If a remedy resonates enough with the person to cause this kind of aggravation, it's usually the right remedy for that person. And an aggravation is like you're trying to swim towards shore, and this big wave comes and tumbles you around, and, you know, you're gasping for air, and you get dumped on the shore, and you might be a little bit hurt, but you're hurled way up onto the shore, much more so than little waves that are lapping at the shore. It's like pushing you in the right direction. It's pushing you too hard, but it is pushing you in the right direction. So typically, after an aggravation, the person is better off than before the remedy. It's not 100%. It's a little bit complicated, all the different factors. But I'd like to mention another remedy. Okay, so we've talked about 30C. 30C is the standard. 6 is a mild one. If people are a little bit hesitant about experimenting with homeopathy, they might feel more comfortable starting with 6C. The greatest danger with 6C is simply it won't work because it's not strong enough. From my point of view, that's the danger, is that people will give up on homeopathy and say it doesn't work. So I'm asking you, if you try 6C and it doesn't work, please then try 30C. It's much more likely to work. Another remedy, Natrum Muriaticum, it's abbreviated NATMUR, N-A-T-M-U-R, is a wonderful remedy on the emotional plane for someone who's been deeply hurt. We call it protecting the wounded heart, where the person feels like they're walling off their heart, creating a wall around the heart, saying, I will never be hurt again. I'm not going to get into a relationship again. I'm just going to, you know, not get involved in relationships. I'm going to protect myself. Or they'll fall in love with someone who's a distant, unavailable object. It might be a teacher or a professor or a celebrity or someone who's married, someone they couldn't possibly have a relationship with, so it's a way of protecting themselves from getting into a relationship. And meanwhile, people who need NatMUR, it's actually just made from salt. You can think of it as it's like tears have salt in the water, you know, so it's like the remedy of grief, but it's also a remedy for water imbalances in the body. There's either too much water, like water retention, or there's too much dryness, or even both. I saw a woman with a very, very dry eczema on top of incredible. She had this swollen up edema, so she had both. The dryness and the water retention in the same body, it's like her body didn't know how to deal with, where's the water supposed to go here? In this case, it probably would be wise, if someone feels like she matches this, it would be wise to use the 6C, because again, the 30C might be too strong. The worst thing that can happen is this cathartic, this flood of tears. Often, the tears are about things from long ago. These are people who just will remember a long-lost love, or they'll get, for example, it's a typical remedy for migraines. It's the most common remedy in homeopathy for migraines. They might come on at a time of an anniversary of the death of a loved one, or perhaps at holiday times when they're poignantly aware of how a family member, a beloved family member, is no longer there, and they go into this state of grief, and then they're likely to get this headache, which is so expressive of NatMUR. I would like to encourage people who have migraines, though, to go to a professional homeopath and not try to treat them at home, because there are many, many possible remedies for migraines. Water retention, though, you could easily treat with a 6C, or even better yet, a 6X. This is what's called a tissue salt or cell salt, and you would have to ask at your health food store for the tissue salt or cell salt called NatMUR 6X. And that will help so much with water retention or with dryness, like dry mouth, dry eyes, things like that.
Would it help with something like vaginal dryness?
It could, yes. Although it definitely could. Personally, I would tend to use a vitamin E oil or an essential fatty acid type cream, or a more of a hormonal approach, because I think that vaginal dryness is more likely to be related to a hormonal imbalance rather than simply to a water problem.
Okay. Well, we only have a couple more minutes. Is there one remedy you want to be sure to touch upon? I know this interview has gone by so quickly, Bhagavati. So what would you like to do in the remaining 2 minutes?
I'd like to encourage people to just try it. My book is about empowering people to just try it. Get the experience. Empower yourself. For women, to take charge of their own health and listen to their bodies. And homeopathy is about noticing your symptoms. If you go to a professional homeopath, she will ask you in great detail about your symptoms. So it really takes advantage of women's ability to tune into their bodies, notice themselves, and women's potential to take control of their health and of their family's health. Of course, I'd like to recommend my book, because I wrote it as the best little starting point.
Go ahead.
A healer in every home. Yeah. And then a great resource is the National Center for Homeopathy, homeopathic.org. and homeopathic educational services, homeopathic.com, which has many, many books, including...
And we're coming to the end, but I want to make sure people know your website, which is greenhealing.org, right?
Yes, thank you. Green like the color, greenhealing.org.
Okay, fantastic. And I do recommend everybody get a copy of A Healer in Every Home by Bhagavati T. Linehan. Is that at your website as well, the book?
Yes, it is. It's on my website, and it's on Amazon.
Great. Thanks, Bhagavati. It's been fantastic. So appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Bye. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.